Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Outdoor Citizen. Your host today, Marty Jones, and guest today is Owen Woods, who is also the producer of The Outdoor Citizen. So this is episode number 40 of The Outdoor Citizen, a podcast launched by Alamosa Citizen in 2023 to explore the great outdoors of the San Luis Valley and the surrounding South Central Colorado and Northern New Mexico landscapes. It is done in partnership with SLB Great Outdoors, the trailblazing outdoor-focused nonprofit headed by Executive Director Mick Daniels. And we also want to be sure to thank our musician, Don Richmond, for the music that you hear from Sea Turtle, and Daniel Boyce for the sound of the birds that you hear. Here on The Outdoor Citizen, we also aim to provide you with up-to-date information on outdoor news and upcoming events geared toward the outdoor enthusiast. These past two episodes, we've been exploring the trails and our favorite hikes to take here in the late summer and now fall months. Owen Woods, who works with us on The Outdoor Citizen, recently hiked up to Duck Lake in the South San Juans, which is a really lovely hike. Owen, why don't you tell us, what was your hike like?
You know, it's good. It was the first time I've been to Duck Lake. I'd hiked with some friends I've never hiked before. But with Duck Lake, I always heard it's either a fantastic hike, it's the worst hike you've ever had in your life, or something weird happens, right? And so I kind of went into it expecting something weird, maybe something bad, but it was awesome the whole way, except for, pardon my French here, the entire trail was full of mud and horse shit. Every step of the way, all the way to the lake. But it was great.
So had there been some rain recently down there?
It was even raining while we were there. And not hard, but enough to, you know, keep yourself dry the whole way.
That is a popular trail for horsemen.
Oh, yeah.
Horsemen and horsewomen. Mm-hmm. It's a popular hiking trail. It's a beautiful hike.
From start to finish.
And you know, it's my experience. I've been up there a couple of times. It's been several years since I was up there last. But it's not that difficult a hike. It's not like a Sangre de Cristo hike, which is straight up, you know. It's a San Juan hike, which is more gradual. What did the lake look like?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it was really misty when we got up there.
So tell us what time of day you left.
I think we left Alamosa at 9, and I think we got to the trailhead about 10:30, 10:45. So it was nice, and I was expecting it to be hot, but it was cloudy the whole way. And so when we finally got to the lake, it was just real misty, probably, honestly, 2 miles of visibility. And it was just a nice sprinkle, and we hadn't seen any ducks, but as soon as we crested over the hill, this little group of ducks flew in and landed in the lake. So we were all hoping to see ducks, and we got it.
Well, good. That lake, sometimes anyway, maybe often, is also filled with duckweed. Did you see much vegetation on the surface?
Big time, especially closer to shore. There was like this little inlet that was just, I mean, feet and feet off of the shore was just full of moss and stuff. It was really, really interesting. I tried to get out to take some photographs, but it was mucky.
And did you see any other people?
On the second lake, because there's like three lakes, two small ones. The second lake, there was a guy by himself who, I guess, he had camped and he was fishing, but it was, you know, a quarter mile away or something like that. But he had just thrown his fly rod out there, but he's the only person we saw that day.
You know, another lake that's a part of that Duck Lake Trail sequence is up above Duck Lake. It's called Rock Lake.
Right, yeah.
It's one of the who knows how many hundred rock lakes there are in Colorado. Mm-hmm. But that lake, that's a nice hike, and it's a really small lake. So Duck Lake is, well, it's not huge, but it's much bigger than Rock Lake.
It was much bigger than I thought. I was expecting like a small kind of, you know, tundra lake, but I was totally blown away by what we came upon.
So how are the fall colors up there?
Man, they were just starting to change. A lot of green still, mainly some orange, a lot of red. But I was just up on Rock Creek Trail yesterday or on Sunday, and I think we might have another week. I mean, there was a lot of green up there too, still really gold, but It was 2 weeks ago. It was fairly green still.
For our listeners who may be from New Mexico, maybe as far away as Santa Fe, I went on a bike ride this weekend near El Paso, Texas. And when I was driving home yesterday, as you crest over La Bajada Hill south of Santa Fe, you get a good view of Santa Fe, Baldy, and the Pecos area. Mm-hmm. And man, there were some beautiful aspen, a big patch of beautiful aspen. And then San Antonio Mountain, close to the border. Mm-hmm. It was really beautiful yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I looked out and it was like it had just, like the whole top was just gold. It was really cool to see.
Very, very nice. Well, Owen, do you have any favorite San Luis Valley hiking trails?
That's a great question. It's a loaded question, but it's a great question. I think if I had to pull probably my favorite hike, probably Middle Frisco. I think that's the one I've done the most often, but I like how tough it is, and I like the reward of the lake. But I don't like to do it often because it is tough. I mean, it's just straight up the whole way. Next to that, I would say South Zapata Lake is probably my favorite all-time hike in the San Luis Valley. I just, when you get up to the lake, I feel like I'm in a cathedral, and it's hard to repeat.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
For readers of the Alamosa Citizen, Maddie Alborn has a little episode on hiking the Frisco Trail, mm-hmm. the Middle Fork Frisco Trail. She describes it very well also. It's one of her favorite hikes,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about it. Well, I also like, I did it once a few years ago, but hiked up west and came back down Middle Frisco. That was a cool big day, but that was really cool to just kind of hike up. I've also been up to Bennett, the Middle Frisco way. That was a big day. That was a really big day, but that was also really cool.
Yeah, yeah. One of our favorite hikes used to be starting out at Hanson's Mill and hiking into the Wheeler Geologic Area.
Nice.
Because if you look off to the west from there, you see some great fall colors. I say it used to be one of our favorite hikes. A little bit less so now because of all the spruce bark beetle devastation. Mm. It's not quite as scenic as it used to be. I mean, you still get excellent views, but you're walking through a lot of dead timber.
Yeah, that's how it was on Rock Creek on Sunday. It was just, I feel like I could have counted on two hands how many actual pine trees with green on them were up there, you know.
Right. So speaking of colors, do you have any particular drives or hikes that you like to do to see the colors?
Yeah, up Pinus Creek, just outside Del Norte, which kind of also gets you like to Jasper and Blowout Pass. It's just aspen the whole way. I love it. And there's a lot of cool lookouts and places to pull over and take photographs and see over ridges. I do that pretty regularly. I just take that drive because it's nice. And then even further south up Canales Canyon, I will drive up to Platoro just because.
Right. And a couple of weeks ago, we were over Cumbres mm-hmm. and La Manga Pass. Things were just starting, mm-hmm. but you could tell it was going to be a banner year for our colors.
Big time.
You know, if you're willing to drive a little farther, one of the fall drives that we really like to take is heading south and west out of Creed on the Silver Thread Highway. Going up to North Clear Creek Falls and then up to the top of Slumgullion Pass. There's some gorgeous aspen stands up there.
Yes, there are. And like the Bachelor Loop, I like doing the Bachelor Loop.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a beautiful view.
It is. What does it mean for a community to have access to not only local in-town trails, but access to mountain trails also?
I utilize the trails 4 or 5 times a week in town. I get off work, I go for a walk, I get up early, I go for a run. That connection where I don't necessarily have to walk a mile to get outside and get to nature is really, really important for my mental health. But I think just as a community, it's just part of who we are. And I think that culture is really interesting because I always see people, kids, adults, old people, dogs, it doesn't matter. There's always people on those trails. So I think that's really important.
Many times it's people that you know.
100%. Yeah. I'll stop and have conversations because I see people I know all the time. But I was just having this conversation with a good friend of mine on Sunday while we were hiking, was how some people consider in-town trails not to be outdoors or nature. And I was like, I fundamentally just disagree with that, even though, yeah, I can see a sidewalk, I can see Walmart, whatever, I'm outside, there's trees, there's birds, there's water, and that's as good, if not better, than going up to the mountains, especially for people who can't go to the mountains. I think our river trails are incredibly accessible and free. I mean, you don't have to spend gas if you don't want to. You don't even have to buy food. You know, you can just go, you can walk up the block, you can go home. So I think that we shouldn't compare their importance. We should just value them both equally, that mountain trails and in-town trails are the same.
And they, like you said, they're great for mental health, for mm-hmm. building community spirit, for rejuvenation. Mm-hmm. After a long day, let your mind unwind by going outside and walking on the river trails, mm-hmm. along the Malm Trail, the Riparian Park. We have so many that you can choose from. And
yeah.
And there's wildlife in town. So
big time.
If you're a bird watcher, there are great places in town to go see birds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love just meandering through the Riparian Park, just taking my sweet time, just because there's birds. I saw a couple of raccoons fighting each other earlier this summer out on the Riparian. That was really cool. Of course, I was like, I'm going to walk without my phone today because I want to separate. And the one time I do, there's a couple of raccoons beating the hell out of each other. It was really cool. But yeah, I think that we are privileged. We're incredibly privileged to have this just to use.
And thanks to SLV Go, mm-hmm. there are a number of communities in the San Luis Valley that have the same opportunities. Mm-hmm. Trails in Antonito, in Del Norte, in Mata Vista, lots of places, mm-hmm. and now Sawatch.
Yeah.
There's lots of places you don't have to drive in order to mm-hmm. be able to walk or ride your bike,
yep.
get good exercise, clear your head, and just enjoy being outside.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in a walkable city, but I also think that, like, you know, walking across the street, across a highway, that doesn't count for me all the way. I think that there needs to be places where you can totally separate yourself from cars. You can totally separate yourself from traffic. Because I remember growing up in this town, crossing the highway from the east side of town I could have been killed a number of times. But I think that if we have that mindset of like, oh, we have town trails, we're here, like this is a walkable place, I think it's really special and unique, but I'll rail against that for a long, long time.
Great. Well, thanks, Owen. It's been great talking with you. I'm glad you had a good walk up on Duck Lake and on along Rock Creek outside of Mount Vista, too.
And we were coming back down, and I ran into a couple of friends I hadn't seen in a couple of years coming up the trail. You know, I was like, what a day. What a, you know.
Yeah.
Random event.
It made your day.
It sure did.
Yeah.
Sure
great. Did. Well, we'll be right back with our string of outdoor conditions and news, as well as some upcoming events after this brief sponsor break.
Are you craving adventure? Step back in time with the entire family aboard the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. Discover breathtaking mountain views and savor the historic charm on the longest and highest steam railroad in America. Feel the thrill of history come alive as you ride along the same tracks laid in 1880. All aboard for the 2024 season. Trains depart Tuesday through Sunday from Antonito, Colorado and Chama, New Mexico. Antonito train station is located just 30 miles south of Alamosa. Book today at CumbresToltec.com or call 888-286-2737.
Welcome back. We're opening October with warm and dry weather, according to the National Weather Service. Plan accordingly on your fall adventures outdoors. This is a good year for the local pinon crop, judging from a wonderful photo essay around pinon picking season by Ryan Michelle Scavo. Rye is based in Del Norte, and she's a frequent contributor to Alamosa Citizen with her outdoors photography. And speaking of pinon, I can tell you, Owen, that when I was driving back from New Mexico yesterday along the Taos Plateau on Highway 285, there were lots of cars parked along the side of the road where there are big pinon gathering areas. Mm-hmm.
That's where I go. That's where I used to go with my family, just straight down there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So good pinon season. We asked for your suggestions on where to go hike. Lori Young emailed us with her favorite spots. She wrote, I love Mosca Trail at the Great Sand Dunes for fall hiking. Also, the Willow Lake Trail outside Crestone is amazing. I love the SLV. Well, thank you, Lori. And we hope that others of you will join in and tell us through a video or a simple email where your favorite fall hikes might be. Send your correspondence to info@alamosacitizen.com. We'll mail you back our Alamosa Citizen bandanas when you do, just as we did with Lori. Now the news. Installing a fish screen in the Medino Ditch to prevent fish passage into the ditch and reduce fatalities in the Rio Grande cutthroat trout population is one project that received critical funding through the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. Grants totaling $1.5 million were announced last week by the foundation, which is a partnership between the NFWF and the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resource Conservation Service, U.S. Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Trinchera Blanca Foundation, and the Walton Family Foundation. The grants were awarded through the Southwest Rivers Headwaters Fund. Other projects affecting the Rio Grande and northern New Mexico also received funding. If you look at the Alamosa Citizen website, you can find a link to other funded projects on the Rio Grande and Colorado River watersheds. Neighboring Gunnison Basin is the focus of federal legislation by U.S. Senators Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper, who last week introduced the Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act. The federal legislation would seek to protect some 730,000 acres, which Ute Mountain Ute Tribe Chairman Manuel Hart said are very important to the tribe, to get land back for the tribe by putting it into trust status, as this legislation does, is important to the tribe's children and grandchildren. The Ute Mountain Ute Tribe appreciates Senator Bennett's work on the GORP Act, supports the legislation, and hopes that it will move forward quickly in the United States Senate. We'll track the Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act as it winds its way through Congress. The National Park Service has appointed Zachary Parks as Chief of Visitor and Resource Protection at the Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve. Zachary Parks is a 15-year National Park Service veteran, serving most recently as law enforcement supervisor for field staff at the Great Sand Dunes. He has also worked at Dinosaur National Monument and Everglades National Park. He has a master's degree in parks and resource management from Slippery Rock University of Pennsylvania. From Colorado Parks and Wildlife, we have some news that on Tuesday, September 17th, they stocked 480 Trojan male, or YY brook trout, into Bobtail and Steelman Creeks in an effort to restore native cutthroat populations in the headwaters of the Williams Fork River. This is a pretty historic moment for Colorado and native cutthroat trout restoration across the state, said CPW aquatic biologist John Ewert. This is a combination of both the hard work and dedication of CPW biologists, current and retired. In 2010, an alarming number of non-native brook trout were discovered after completing a fish survey in the headwaters of the Williams Fork River. While it is unknown when brook trout invaded these creeks, it was evident the thriving brook trout had nearly decimated the native cut population over time. Cutthroat trout found within these two creeks are some of the highest valued native cutthroat populations in the headwaters of the Colorado River Basin. Considered a species of special concern in Colorado, this subspecies of trout is genetically pure and naturally reproducing. In 2011, we found 123 cutthroat trout combined in both Bobtail and Steelman Creeks. Today, after 13 years of hard work by dedicated biologists, we are seeing a little more than 1,400 cutthroats in the creeks, Ewert said. Colorado Parks and Wildlife will continue to stock both streams with YY brook trout over the next several years to sustain the number of Trojan males in the population, eliminating the production of female brook trout in the creeks. Next up, we have a look at some upcoming outdoor events. San Luis Valley Chapter of Trout Unlimited is hosting a Kay Watkins Fishing Estate Sale plus SLV Trout Unlimited Garage Sale at the Colorado Farm Brewery on Friday, October 4th at 6 p.m. Please join us for this fun event to honor the life of Kay. Kay's wife, Jan, has generously donated all of Kay's fishing equipment and fly tying supplies to SLV Trout Unlimited. This will be a low-key silent auction format sale and will include items from various Trout Unlimited members as well. Items will include spin fishing gear, fly fishing equipment, and a wide variety of fly tying supplies. Let me tell you, I got a look at some of this. Kind of a preview. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely incredible the amount of material that's available. We hope this will be a happy social event celebrating Kay, and there may be some great bargains too. Proceeds will go to SLV Trout Unlimited Scholarship Fund to send SLV youth to the annual Colorado Trout Unlimited River Conservation and Fly Fishing Youth Camp. For more information, call 719-588-7678. And Owen, I can tell you also there will be live music from the Celtic Knots at that event. The Headwaters Hoedown is Saturday, October 5th. This annual event, hosted by the Rio Grande Headwaters Land Trust, is from 2 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. at Bees Reserve, 84 Getz Drive, Monte Vista, Colorado. This is an unforgettable day celebrating conservation and community on a beautiful conserved ranch. You can get more information on the Valley calendar at alamosacitizen.com. The San Juan Nordic Club is gearing up for a great ski season, but we need your help in clearing the Rock Creek ski trails, says Laura Conchalos, the president of the San Juan Nordic Club. Thus, on October 13th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., there will be a Rock Creek Ski Trails Work Day. There will be a mix of work, including using brush saws and weed whackers, cutting limbs with small handsaws and chainsaws, clipping brush with pruners and loppers. We should have tools for everyone, but could use some extra brush saws and weed whackers, ideally with metal blades, if you have one to bring. And please bring on your own food and water, work gloves, sunglasses or safety glasses, sunscreen, and if you have any of your own tools like loppers, small handsaws, brush saws, and so on, feel free to bring them. We'll provide some tools and work gloves as well. Meet at the gate at the end of the Archery Range Road near the picnic table, which is off of County Road 28, about 6 miles beyond the end of the pavement. So this is the Rock Creek Road. If you're familiar with that, comes off the 2 South out of Monte Vista. And we've done, Diana and I have done this work day for several days, several times. And it's a good rewarding trip with lots of hands, light work, you know, and that way, when we do get snow and you want to go up there and ski, you can say, I helped to make this possible. I helped to clear these trails.
Or I can say, thanks, Marty.
or you can. Yeah. There's a good crew. Usually more than 10 people show up.
Oh, that's awesome.
It'd be great to have 20 or 30 people show up. So if you can, that's going to be October 13th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., at the Archery Range Road off County Road 28, 6 miles beyond the end of the pavement. And you can get more information by calling or sending a text to 719-849-3098. In addition, the San Juan Nordic Club has a few upcoming events. On November 2nd, the Fall Social will be held at the Colorado Farm Brewery. That's always a good time. And you can renew your membership at that time if you don't get it renewed ahead of that. On December 6th, there's a ski swap drop-off. And on December 7th, the ski swap, the annual ski swap at Alamosa Recreation Center. And tentatively, on December 12th, the Backcountry Film Festival, location yet to be determined. The Alamosa Bicycle Coalition and the Alamosa Bicycle Working Group are hosting bicycle and walk audits in October and November. You heard us talking about the audits earlier, and these audits are a community process that involves observing and documenting how safe, bikeable, and walkable a location is. The remaining two audits are going to be held October 10th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. This audit will start and end at the Rio Grande Farm Park, 6935 Colorado Highway 17. And on November 12th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., the audit will start and end at the State Avenue River Trail Access, 6901 North River Road. The Rio Grande Basin Roundtable is hosting a pre-Thanksgiving extravaganza on the Conejo system. It's an October 11th tour of Alpha Farms, Platoro Reservoir, the Antonito Reservoir site, and more. The event is scheduled for 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. To attend, you must RSVP by October 9th to Amber Pacheco, chair of the board for the Rio Grande Basin Roundtable. Her phone number is 719-252-7420. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is supported by San Luis Valley Great Outdoors and is produced and edited by Owen Woods. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear about in a future episode, please send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle, which you've been hearing throughout the podcast, and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. Until next time, this is Marty Jones, and we'll see you outdoors.
San Luis Valley Great Outdoors is a proud sponsor of the Outdoor Citizen podcast, produced and published by alamosacitizen.com, where we bring outdoor stories to you. SLV Go builds pathways to connect. Whether building and maintaining trail systems across the San Luis Valley with the Great Outdoors Action Team, providing inclusive opportunities for families in the outdoors with SLV Generation Wild, jumpstarting community coalitions that turn ideas into reality, leading community adventures with the Embajadores, and holding space for conversation around the balance of conservation and recreation. SLV Go has a mission to provide residents and visitors throughout the San Luis Valley with accessible and inclusive outdoor recreation opportunities that balance conservation, connect communities, improve wellness, encourage stewardship, and contributes to the economic vitality of the region. Don't forget to share your outdoor adventures with us via the Outdoor Field Report. Until next time, we will see you on the trails.